Behind every big hit.
He will score! And the Twins win it!
And every key strikeout.
Swing and a miss, he got him.
There are a lot of important decisions being made on the diamond and throughout the organization. And now, here's your inside look at your team on Inside Twins.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Inside Twins as we come to you from Target Field just outside the Thomson Reuters Champions Club, getting set for the final game and the rubber game of this three-game series. Twins and the Yankees coming up in just about 1 hour from now. The pitching matchup for Game 3, Kyle Gibson, 8-7, Nathan Eovaldi, 9-2 going for the Yankees. I'm Corey Provis. We welcome your questions today. You can reach us in two ways via email, InsideTwins@TwinsBaseball.com or on Twitter, #InsideTwins. And our guest on today's program, always good to visit with the GM of the Minnesota Twins. We say good afternoon to Terry Ryan. How are you?
Good, Corey. We'll see if we can regroup here a little bit on Cooperstown Day.
Cooperstown Day. We'll get to the Hall of Fame as we move along here today. But simply as a fan, forget your job. Can you go to sleep after a game like that last night?
I would think that I'm just like every other fan that watches this club, Corey. This one was tough to take last night. It was like a punch in the gut because we had the game in our grasp for quite a while. And unfortunately, we didn't tack on, number one. We didn't make some defensive plays, two. And ultimately, they had some people step up, three. And, of course, the ninth inning was devastating. I thought we were going to be able to pull this thing out. And unfortunately, we've had a few of these through the course of the first half of this season where we've been resilient enough to overcome, and hopefully that'll be the case today. Gibson steps up, and it'll be a distant memory after this afternoon if we win today.
And this team has been resilient. Have you noticed that? Wins and losses after some emotional highs this year and after some tough losses as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. We have been resilient, and we found ways to stay out of these ruts where you let one loss develop into a three- or four-game loss streak. And that's what needs to happen today. If we want to be playoff contenders, we've got to find ways to win games after a tough loss.
Kyle Gibson had that last start before the All-Star break. He was locked in, too, throwing the ball so well. Then the extra time before he got the ball that next turn in Anaheim earlier in the week. Did you notice some rust when you were there watching Gibson on Tuesday night?
Yeah, I don't doubt that he was. He wasn't sharp. He didn't have the command that you normally see out of outings that he goes out and performs on. And I would say that he's been our most consistent guy on the mound, and this is an ideal spot to put him out against a very difficult offensive club. This team can hit, and they've got those left-handed bats that are built for Yankee Stadium. And as you saw in the ninth inning last night, one after another came out of that dugout for pinch-hitting duties, and we took care of them, ironically. But unfortunately, we didn't take care of the righty there, and the young kid came up with a big home run. It's almost hard to fathom in that position that Murphy is the one that did the most damage. But they have a good club. Gibson's capable, and this will be a good test for us to see whether or not we can play with these guys. This is a playoff team, the Yankees, and if we want to get into that mix, we got to show them that we could play with them.
Casey Fien worked the ninth inning on Friday night, and then Trevor May came in the ballgame yesterday in the eighth inning with the lead at one. Do you think we'll see more of that, Trevor May, eighth inning in a tight game?
We've talked about that, Corey, over the last 10 days or so on whether or not we can get Trevor May the eighth inning situation to see how he handles it. He did a wonderful job last night of getting out of that inning. He gave up the hit. And then here comes McCann, who's a power threat, of course, and Trevor did a good job, even with the throw over to first that got away, and he regrouped. So I would say that he took a step forward last night and giving us some confidence that at least we've got a guy there that you could put out in the eighth or seventh or sixth when the game is on the line. And he's a young kid with a tremendous upside, and he's got pitches, and he throws it over. That's a pretty good combination for us.
And speaking of the pitches he has swing and miss pitches. Yeah. And that's something that the bullpen, maybe outside of Glenn Perkins, and you've been pretty open about this, that the bullpen as a whole has been lacking.
Well, we've struggled here a little bit. You know, Al, they carried us for 2 months. There's no question that Blaine Boyer and, to some extent, Aaron Thompson and certainly Perkins, of course, but we've had a little crack here or there recently, and we've got to find a way to patch that. And Trevor May might be some of the answer to our problems out there, but I don't want to press. This is a team game, and we lost this as a club. It was defense as much as offense, as bullpen, anything else you want to point to. Tommy Malone gave us a chance to win that baseball game, and our starting pitching has been pretty good as of late. So now, as a team, we lost that ball game. It just wasn't our bullpen.
A couple of bullpen thoughts before we go to break. Two lefties, Brian Dunsing in the best role and the best rhythm he's been in all season long, and also Ryan O'Rourke has been forced to come in some tough spots, and he's responded as well.
He has, and both Dunsing and O'Rourke, obviously, they're going to get a good share of the time out there in that pen because we're always looking for lefties to get the big left-handed hitter out. O'Rourke doesn't look scared, and he throws it up there, and that slider seems to be a mystery to me. He just wings it up there, and they swing through it. Dunsing has settled in now and starting to look like the guy that we had the last couple years, so it's certainly welcome. We need those two people out there to be able to do their job to get the ball to Perkins. And it's, you know, if Trevor May and a few of those other guys start to revert, we got to get Fien and Boyer going here again, and there's no question that they're going to get their share of the responsibility as well. And they've struggled to some extent, too.
All right, we'll take our first break here in Inside Twins. A lot to get to on the program today. Trade deadline, how involved has Paul Molitor been? His first go-around in doing all of this. We'll get to the Hall of Fame, some injury updates as well on Buxton, Nolasco, even Ryan Presley. More to come. Corey Provost, Terry Ryan, Inside Twins continues next on your home for Twins baseball. Welcome back. Inside Twins continues. Twins and the Yankees coming up at 1:10. Chris Atterbury, today's pregame show, follows this program at 12:30 Central Time. Kyle Gibson, Nathan Eovaldi. Twins after a home series win against the Yankees, which has never happened at Target Field. The last time the Twins won a home series in this town, the Metrodome, in 2008, and the Twins had a chance last night to seal that with a win. Did not happen, but we'll rely on Gibson here today in the finale of this series. Corey Provost back with Terry Ryan. And Terry, looking at the lineup today, Eduardo Nunez is going to be in there at short. And Paul Molitor throughout the week has told me it's kind of a revolving door right now at short. Is that one position more than others you would prefer to have a stabilizing force?
Well, it's open for the hot hand, Corey, and whoever Paul puts out there, there's an opportunity here. You know, you've got Escobar who's looking for playing time. You got Nunez that's looking for playing time, and Santana certainly has had a lot of opportunities to nail down the spot, and he hasn't done it. Somebody wants to step up and take that position. We'd be very receptive to that. Unfortunately, it hasn't happened. Nunez has got a chance to hit a fastball. There's no question, and this guy's got that. Eovaldi, he's a hard thrower. I believe he's got Nunez in there because of the bat as much as anything today, but go ahead and show us do something here that we'll keep putting a player out there if they continue to perform. And unfortunately, that revolving door at shortstop's been a difficult time for us because we don't like to be a type of club that has to put different people out of the position, especially with the importance of shortstop. But that's where we're at right now, and that's what we've had to do. And unfortunately, it hasn't worked out too well, so we'll continue to look for somebody to nail that down.
Terry, just a few days away from the trade deadline, I know you can't get too specific about what you and your team are working on right now, but how busy is this time for you and your staff?
It's picked up sizably here in the last 3 or 4 days, but it'll continue on here. There are clubs that a week ago when we talked were still in this thing, and they've all of a sudden this week they've had a tailspin and now they're out and they want to change gears. And if somebody goes south here in the next 3 or 4 days, you can well imagine how quick they can change what they want to do. And we're in this thing, there's no doubt. So we're looking and we're certainly talking. And we've got an opportunity to help this ball club. We should take every advantage of that opportunity and see if we can bring some people in here to help us along.
So a report this morning, Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports and the MLB Network reporting that the Royals have acquired or are about to acquire Johnny Cueto from the Cincinnati Reds. That deal is not yet official, and got the sense that if that deal is going to happen, that, you know, the Royals were looking for that they were looking for a frontline starter, and Cueto obviously can fill that role.
Yeah, they've had all kinds of issues. Vargas went down, 10 days ago with Tommy John again, which was unfortunate, and the young kid down there, Ventura, is having a tough time. And, you know, they've got a team over there where one piece like Cueto, with all the history now in the last year, that they're headed in the right direction, and that piece certainly would help them. And Houston did the same thing down there. You know, the Kazmir situation, that was a good get for them. So Houston, Kansas City, us, the Yankees, we're all looking. You know, it's not a mystery on who's looking for things. We all have issues. No one's got that perfect roster, and even the New York Yankees, they're going to be out, and they're rumored to be in some of this stuff now all of a sudden as well.
Trade deadline as we speak right now, just a few days away, and this marks the first time that as a manager, Paul Molitor is involved in all of this. How much are you educating him about what happens this time of year?
Well, there are a lot of moving parts in this thing, and one day you've got something that presents itself, and the next day it goes away. And I've told Paul, don't let me ambush you here. There are a lot of things that we're looking at, and the possibilities are out there. And it doesn't matter what position, it doesn't matter where they come from, it doesn't matter experience level, but there's a chance we might be able to do a few things, and I want to make sure that you're on board. So before we would pull a trigger on anything, he would be involved and informed. And the one thing that Paul has got to realize is chemistry is a huge piece. And I don't want to bring anybody in here that's going to send us in the wrong direction chemistry-wise. So a lot of times he'll be able to inform me, listen, that guy just isn't going to fit. I don't care how good he is. We don't want to have that. Selfishness and a person or player's agenda for their own good, Corey, that doesn't work when you're going for playoff baseball.
That's interesting, because how do you grade, you know, personality? You can look at raw numbers and say, boy, this guy's a starting pitcher, or this guy's got a big bat. He's going to statistically impact our club. But how do you judge and grade a player's personality and how that may impact what you currently have?
Well, that's a scout's duty. He's got to know exactly what this guy's history is, what his MO is, and statistics are fine. But if you get a guy that's in here for his own good, that isn't going to work. We're looking for people that are team guys that will help us along.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I want to give you one more thought on the trade deadline. Commissioner Rob Manfred announced this week that maybe in the next CBA wouldn't rule out moving the trade deadline back, perhaps into August with the second wild card team in play now in the game. We'll get Terry's thought on that. Injury news as well still to come. Twins and the Yankees, game 3 at 1:10 on your home for Twins baseball. Twins continues. Corey Provis alongside Terry Ryan. Game 3, Twins and the Yankees coming up at 1:10. Terry, let's get back to the trade deadline conversation. Rob Manfred, baseball's commissioner, told the Associated Press, I believe it was Wednesday, that he would not be against moving the trade deadline back when the next CBA comes around. The current CBA expires after 2016. And just some background on this, for a long time, for many years, the trade deadline, I think that ended in 86, was in June. And it's been in late July now since the 86-87 season. Would you be for that? Would you be for the trade deadline moving back in August?
Well, we've had discussions about this trade deadline date for years, Corey, in the GM meetings in October and November. And it seems like there's a faction over here and a faction over here on moving it up or moving it back, and that's why it stayed July 31st. Now, if you're a contending team, you probably want to move it up into June, because you want to supplement your roster. And when you put a deadline on things, there's finality and you get things done. If you're a team that's out of it, you might want to move back because you might have a chance to get into it sooner or later. But the other part of that, let's say you're a team that's 20 games out. Well, you want to get rid of some of the things. You want to move on too. So that's why it's always been controversial. And some GMs want to move it up, some don't want to move it back, so we've stayed the same. Now, Rob's been around ever since that date has been moved, actually. So, you know, I suspect that where you're at the time, you're going to vote that way. And we get this vote, and it's usually about 15 to 15. You know, it's amazing. So that's why it stayed the same.
Does it matter? Have you noticed a trend about big market clubs, smaller market teams? Has that been a factor in a vote like this?
Not too much anymore, because there's so much parity. There was a day 10 years ago or so, yeah, that would have been a factor in your vote. But big market, small market, all of a sudden there's so much parity that, you know, look at Boston and now Kansas City. So they've changed exactly the opposite. So it's not been that big of a factor on what kind of market you come from.
To make a move like that so substantial, does that have to be unanimous or is it just majority?
No, I suspect if the commissioner wants it moved, he's going to get it moved.
Okay.
So, he'd certainly like to have some uniformity on this vote. But it's been, you know, we take it every year, and it's very close to 500. So I'm not sure exactly which way it'll move. But if people want it moved up, you know, I think all of the GMs are team guys. If it's good for the game, it's good for the clubs. So let's do something. And that's what Rob's all about. I think he explains, listen, this is good for the game. And we're looking for interest from the fan base. And if it's good for the game, we should move it and probably get moved.
Let's kind of change channels and get into some injury updates now. You were anxious to see Byron Buxton yourself when the team got back from the West Coast road trip. Is he progressing at the point you envisioned, or is this going to be maybe a bit longer than we first thought?
Oh, he's doing well now, and we're starting to – he's allowed to play catch and put a glove on that thumb and also grab a bat and the dry swings and all that stuff that comes with rehab, the process. And ultimately, here we'll get him down to Florida and get him onto live pitching, and then we'll put him on an official rehab. And he's doing fine. It's just, you know, that was a serious injury he had. And unfortunately, gripping a bat is a big piece to this thing, because if you get jammed with that thumb too early, it'll be devastating for him and us. So we'll make sure we do the right thing by him. But he's getting close to at least getting to Florida.
All right. Ricky Nolasco was in the clubhouse. Saw him briefly on Friday post-surgery. Now that you're back and you've had a chance to visit with him, are you realistic or even hopeful that he could pitch again this season?
Yeah, that's the question mark on whether or not he's going to be able to rejoin us. Now, he's had that fragment taken out. He's in a walking boot right now. Things are going nicely, but I can't predict whether or not he's going to be able to pitch this year.
Ryan Presley, I guess the muscle was ripped off the bone. I mean, it sounds graphic and grotesque. And Molitor told me on the pregame show, I think yesterday, the day before, that this is going to be a couple of months here when it's all said and done.
Yeah, the good thing is he's pain-free right now, so we can move toward the, all right, we're going to start stretching him out, and he'll start playing catch and that type of thing. He's a big piece to this ball club because he has better stuff than most, and it'd be nice to have him available here as we get later into the season. I would hope that he'd be able to rejoin us, and until he starts getting on that mound, I'm not even going to tell you when he's going to be back because he's not even played catch much, but eventually he'll be able to help us, and it'll be this year.
And one minor league injury update, if you can, before we take our last break. Josmel Pinto's been out for so long with the concussion. The Twins don't, they don't mess with those. The history the Twins have had with several players. He's resuming baseball activities but still not playing?
Correct. He is. We're ready to activate him, but we have to get clearance through the Major League Baseball and the concussion symptoms and all the stuff that come with that. So he's getting pretty close to being activated.
All right, one last time out. We'll come back, wrap up the program next. Twins and the Yankees at 1:10, Game 3 on your home for Twins baseball.
You're listening to the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
A couple minutes left as we wrap up with Terry Ryan here at Inside Twins Hall of Fame weekend. Dick Enberg and Tom Gage inducted yesterday. Spink and Frick recipients. And today, four players will be inducted into baseball's Hall of Fame. Biggio, Smoltz, Pedro, and Randy Johnson. Some stories or some thoughts on those four going in today, Terry?
Well, I've always loved listening to Dick Enberg, Corey. You know, whether it's baseball or whether it's football or basketball or golf or tennis, he's well-rounded. He's a tremendous human being. Not that I know him, but I certainly know of him. Randy Johnson's one of the greatest left-handers of all time, and it took him a while to get into that area. Pedro Martinez had the best changeup of anybody I think most of us have seen. I saw Biggio when he was an amateur. It takes me all the way back to when he was at Seton Hall as a catcher and a tremendous competitor and athlete. And Smoltz, of course, we know him very well here through his Atlanta days. And it's amazing how he ended up in Atlanta after being drafted and signed by Detroit as a kid. So well-deserved. Each one of those guys are tremendous people and tremendous players and belong in the Hall of Fame.
And as I told Tony O yesterday, one stinking vote.
Yeah.
He'd be in that group as well this weekend.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's a shame. You talk about great human beings. Tony's one of the all-time greats in our mind here, and I know people throughout the baseball world know that as well.
All right, as we wrap up, we'll leave with this. 1 week from now, we'll visit on this show, post-trade deadline, the 25 that's in that clubhouse now. Do you expect some new faces?
I would expect so.
All right, Terry, thanks for the time. Terry Ryan joining us here Inside Twins. Great program per usual. Plenty more to come here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Chris Atterbury, today's pregame show follows this. Minute 1:10, Game 3, rubber game. Twins and the Yankees. Kyle Gibson, Nathan Eovaldi, the pitching matchup. Stay tuned. Chris's pregame show is next. Thanks for tuning in on your home for Twins Baseball.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.